In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you. Okay, there is a skyrocketing divorce rate. Divorce is now, well, it's not the norm, but marriage is far less successful than it ever has been in the American experience. The Oklahoma legislature would like to do something about that. They'd like to at least cut down on the divorce rate in their state, and they've proposed several solutions. One of them is to require, by law, counseling before one marries. They think, you know, if we catch this at the front end, maybe what we'll be able to do is keep people from divorcing. And divorce is expensive. Is it a social ill? Is it something we should be worried about? Or should the government just leave its nose out of our personal business? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Joining us to talk about proposed divorce legislation in Oklahoma, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris. She's a regular guest, founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Love and Economics and Smart Sex. Jennifer, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Does the government really have any business poking around in the issue of marriage or premarital counseling, even if it is to bring the divorce rate down?
Well, the government certainly has an interest in the stability of marriage, that's for sure. I mean, partly because divorce is so expensive. And if you think about the government minding your business by telling you you need to get married and stay married, you ain't seen nothing yet, because when you get divorced and you end up in family court, you're basically allowing the government to decide all kinds of aspects of your life, including how much money you spend on your kids, how much time you get to spend with your kids, and who gets to spend Christmas Day with the kids. So, you know, it's not like you have the choice of having the government completely out of the question. The fact is that when parental cooperation breaks down, the government ends up in your bedroom and in the back seat of your minivan in any case. So to try to do something to stabilize marriage is certainly not out of the question in terms of being something that the state has some kind of interest in.
So that is the kind of legal and economic end of this thing. As a social critic, why is divorce bad for society?
Well, you know, if you look at it this way, start from the perspective of the child, Todd. You know, if you take the child's perspective, what is owed to the child? And the fact is that every child has an interest in the stability of their parents' union. You know, children, if you think children have some kind of entitlement to be in relationship with and to receive the care of both of their natural parents, that's a valuable an important goal that we have as a society, that every child is entitled to that, to have the benefit of the care of both of their parents. And so every child has an interest, and really a legitimate interest, in the stability of their parents' union. And so if you think about it that way, then stabilizing marriage is an important social goal, just from the point of view of doing justice to our weakest and most defenseless members, namely children. I mean, children can't bring a lawsuit if somebody has violated their rights. You know, by the time a child's old enough to figure out that something's gone wrong, their childhood is over. So you want to protect children's rights proactively and not wait until after the fact, after something bad has happened, to try to do something about it. And that's why you have marriage as an institutional structure and not simply as a series of contracts among people who just happen to agree on things.
There's a whole complex, a web of social ills that seem to either go along as cause or effect or just attendant circumstance. with divorce, such as poverty, teen pregnancy, sex out of marriage, cohabitation. Does the government have any business looking into these possible attributing factors to the high divorce rate?
Well, you know, some of the things that you mentioned are work both directions. So divorce is a great way to dissipate family wealth, you know, and anybody who's been through divorce can tell you that, you know, that a lot of wealth just kind of evaporates out of the household when you're trying to raise, trying to maintain two households instead of one, and you have legal fees and all of that kind of stuff. So, you know, so divorce is expensive from a private point of view, but then it also ends up being expensive publicly because the problems that are attached to divorce often end up becoming public problems. So since you have a higher probability of certain social ills being associated with divorce, that's going to mean a higher probability of the government getting involved in things like extra medical care and extra mental health services and special education services and extra costs to the criminal justice system, which are associated with children, boys that don't have fathers in the home, and things like that. So there are a whole set of risk factors that flow from divorce that end up being expensive to the taxpayer, and so therefore there is some societal interest in that.
One of the things the legislature in Oklahoma debated, but then did not pass, was a bill that would have required couples thinking about divorce to have a visit to a therapist, marital counseling, and those kind of things. What do you make of that kind of solution?
Well, I'm not a big fan of mandatory counseling, just because it ends up being it can be abused. You know, it's one of those things where you check off the box to do what you're instructed to do, but whether it brings about any lasting change or anything like that is I think more debatable. I think the other things that they were talking about or have talked about or have already implemented is a mandatory waiting period. You know, the sort of mandatory cooling off period. Those kinds of things can be helpful, I think, in slowing down the pace or the track towards divorce. And the other kind of thing that has been shown to be helpful are things that affect the custody rules and the property settlements, because there's quite a bit of variation in that across the states. And one of the things that we've seen is that when custody rules are close to 50-50, in other words, where there's a presumption of shared parenting, There's a lower divorce rate, and women in particular are less likely to initiate divorce in states where they know they're going to end up having shared custody with their child's father. So there are a lot of different things that states can experiment with to try to reduce the divorce rate.
Is there any possibility in the future, not only in Oklahoma but elsewhere, of bringing back fault-based divorce? That is, you actually had to have and show cause.
Well, you know, the people of Arizona actually passed legislation. This was, I think, about 2005, if I'm not mistaken, Todd. The people of Arizona passed a bill that said that a family court judge could, at their discretion, consider fault in property settlement and child custody. In other words, it was an option for the judge, and it was not an option for granting the divorce in the first place. You know, so it was simply that the judge could, if they wanted to, consider fault in allocating property and in deciding custody. That passed the legislature, both houses of the legislature, and it was vetoed by the government, or by the governor, rather. And, you know, when you ask, well, why? Why did she veto it? The best I can figure out is that it was at the request of the family law bar that she vetoed it. And for some reason, they just don't want to go back into the business of assigning fault or finding fault. I thought it was quite a bizarre episode.
Finally, with only a minute here, Jen, if you were asked to appear before the Oklahoma legislature on the issue of divorce, what would you basically have to say? About 1 minute.
Well, basically, I would have to say that I applaud their efforts to try to reduce the divorce rate, and that anything that they can plausibly do would be a good thing. And I would suggest waiting periods, and I would suggest shared parenting. If there isn't already a presumption of shared parenting after divorce, I would strongly recommend that that be the norm. In other words, when you go into a divorce, that you would know that you're still going to have to deal with your spouse, that there's no that the odds are against you being able to walk off with the kids and a and half the property and some money from your ex-spouse. When people know that that's probably not what's going to happen, that you're still going to have to interact with the person, they're much less likely to divorce. So that'd be the kind of thing that I would talk about, Todd.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morris is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Love and Economics and Smart Sex. You can check out the website for the Ruth Institute tonight. You'll find a link at issuesetc.org. Jennifer, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
It's never a good thing, and it always is the dissolution of not only marriage, but also, in many ways, family. And the government does have an interest in the family. The family and marriage are not purely private matters. They're not mere personal preference. They are, in fact, not only the fabric, but also the foundation of society. If we allow them to become weakened and easily destroyed, then, well, if they're the fabric and foundation of society, we know what might come next. So, yes, the state and the citizens have an interest in preserving marriages. A special thanks to Pastor David Bott, Redeemer Lutheran Church in Jackson, Wyoming, for being part of the Issues Etc. 300. They're one among many congregations that are supporting Issues Etc. to the tune of $1,000 or more in their annual budget. That's how you become a member of the Issues Etc. 300. You can find out more at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. You can even download at the support page a flyer that tells you and your congregation all about joining the Issues Etc. 300. And thank you in advance for your support. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.